It was a Thursday, the last month of our high school senior year. It was a pretty chill day, but for some reason, the seniors at my high school always like to show off and pick on the freshmen, especially Tom. He was always quiet and kept to himself. It was the end of third period, and I was getting ready to switch over to math class, when suddenly, I heard a commotion break out in the hallway. I walked over to see what the hell was going on, and that's when I saw Tom. He was laid out on the ground with blood streaming out of his mouth. It was pretty apparent that he had just gotten his ass kicked by seniors. To make matters worse, these weren't your typical size guys. These dudes were on the school's football team. They were all rough, rugged, and stocky guys. Tom, he was basically the size of a noodle compared to them. It really pissed me off, but there honestly wasn't much I could have done to help. Besides, several security guards had already arrived on the scene at that point. The jerks who jumped him showed absolutely no remorse for their actions. In fact, they were high-fiving each other and just laughing it up. Johnny, the star of the team, was one of those guys. His dad is a judge, so you already know how that goes. He pretty much gets away with whatever he wants, and most of the time, even the teachers feel powerless to control him. Anyways, after security escorted these dirtbags from the area, the nurse came over and started attending to Tom. At that point, those of us standing around watching were ordered to clear out and head to our next class. So that's what I did. I didn't see Tom for the rest of the day, so I'm assuming his parents were called and he went home. The next day, though, was one that none of us saw coming. It was first period, homeroom class, when the school issued an immediate lockdown. We were ordered to lock our doors, turn the lights off, and to stay clear from all doors and windows. We had lockdown drills numerous of times, so I just assumed this was just another drill. However, I was a little confused because I didn't recall us ever being told of an upcoming lockdown drill. But that confusion quickly vanished when I heard the running footsteps of several security guards running past my classroom. That was followed by the lockdown alarm blaring. It was at that point I realized that something must have been going down. My classmates and I all looked at each other with a look of confusion and disbelief. Our teacher, Mr. Ray, ordered everyone to quickly move away from the doors and to huddle up in the far corner of the room, which was out of view from the door window. We still had some people snickering and laughing, but I just had a strange gut feeling at that time. That's when we heard three gunshots go off. You better believe all laughing and snickering ended that very second. As for me, I started to feel a slight panic attack swelling up inside. My breaths became heavy, and I could hear my heartbeat loud and clear. My mouth became so dry, I felt like I was going to die from thirst alone. That usually happens to me when I'm in a scary situation. But this was something I've never experienced before, so the symptoms felt 10 times worse. After the three gunshots, we heard a man's voice cussing left and right, asking for someone to show themselves. He also kept saying something about them being not so tough now. I had no idea who this guy was, but whoever he was, it was pretty clear he arrived with really bad intentions. The man's yelling drew closer and closer, until he was basically right outside our classroom door. This guy was cussing up a storm and sounded like he was randomly kicking classroom doors and lockers. Then, he went quiet. We all just sat there, eyes completely wide open, staring at each other. Even though none of us spoke, I'm pretty sure we were asking one another what the hell was going on. Then, I damn near pissed myself when I snapped out of my daze by a loud bang. This psycho was trying to kick our door down. He started up yelling and screaming again, demanding some unknown person or people to come out. Thankfully, by this point, I could hear the sound of police sirens outside the school. But this only appeared to make this dude even more angry. He kicked our door several more times, I'm not a religious person, but in that moment, I prayed for the first time, begging whatever God existed to please not let that door give way to this guy. Suddenly, he stopped kicking and I heard him running down the hall. Everyone, including myself, were all like mannequins, completely motionless. I'm gonna be honest, I pretty much spaced out at that point and completely lost track of time. I just know that at some point, a police officer's voice began speaking from the other side of the door, asking for Mr. Ray to come to the door. They eventually came in, made sure everyone was safe, and that everyone was accounted for. For obvious reasons, school was over for the rest of the day. Over the course of that week, it came to light that the crazed man was Tom's father. Apparently, he completely lost it when he found out about his son being so severely bullied and was there to serve his own form of justice. He obviously got arrested. I didn't see Tom in school for the remainder of that month. I honestly felt really bad for him. He didn't deserve what happened to him, but I'm pretty sure he didn't go back to that school. Most likely, he was transferred out. I just hope he's doing okay now and was able to move on with his life. To be honest with you, I still don't feel comfortable sharing this story with many people. However, sometimes the anxiety those memories build up becomes too much for me. And when that happens, I feel like I need to tell someone. I guess it's my own form of therapy. Anyways, this is my school lockdown story. I'm 24 now, and this happened back when I was a freshman. Just for some context, I actually enjoyed school. I wasn't a nerd or anything, but I didn't really hate school like most other people. But even though I liked school, some teachers really pushed those feelings to the limit. I never understood why some people chose to become teachers if it made them so damn miserable, but whatever. It was about 2 months into my freshman year of high school when this all went down. My biology teacher, Mr. Saxon, had to be the weirdest teacher I ever had in my life. I'm talking about since day one, this guy seemed to have a screw loose. In those 2 months I attended his class, I literally didn't learn anything. It had become pretty routine. We'd show up, sit down, he'd pass out worksheets and scribbled page numbers for us to reference on the board. That's it. As far as grading our work, strangely, everyone would get a C. I remember several of us talking to each other after class about it. One of the guys I spoke to said he purposely put all wrong answers because he was convinced Mr. Saxon didn't actually look over the work. And sure enough, the next time we had class and got our graded worksheets back, Terrence, the guy I mentioned, got a C. I actually planned to complain to the main office about Mr. Saxon the very next day. However, as you'll soon find out, I would never get the chance to do so. It was a Wednesday. That morning, I woke up extremely exhausted because I had stayed up until 3 a.m. cramming for a history test. Normally, I was pretty good about studying ahead of time, but I was going through some personal issues at home. So, mentally, I wasn't in a good place. But yeah, I woke up pretty late, so I was scrambling to get ready. The fridge was pretty empty, so I grabbed a random banana from the kitchen counter and made my way out the door. The weather that day was gloomy. It had rained for 5 days before then, and I was just begging to get some sunlight at some point. I made it to homeroom, barely on time. My best friend Roberto had this smirk on his face when I walked in. I honestly wasn't really in the mood, but I figured I'd humor him and ask what's up. Turns out, he finally got laid and was as happy as a fat kid in a bakery. The bell rang for first period, and I made my way to history class. Remember how I mentioned going through personal issues? Well, my grandma, who basically raised me as her own son, died a week prior. That hit me hard. I still tear up just thinking about it. In fact, I'm tearing up right now as I write this. But I tried my best to block out the pain and focus on the test. It felt like serving a prison sentence, but I finally got through it and was honestly ready to just get the rest of the day over with so I can go home. Fast forward to fourth period, biology class. Mentally, I was done. Memories of my grandma just kept flooding my mind throughout the day. Roberto tried asking what's wrong, but each time, I just shrugged him off. He knew I wasn't my normal self, and even though we were best friends, I didn't really share too much of my personal life with him, or with anyone for that matter. We had three classes together, so Roberto was in my biology class as well. When I walked into class, Mr. Saxon was sitting at his desk, staring out towards the window. He didn't acknowledge any of us walking in at all. He just sat there, staring out into the distance. The bell rang, and we all just sat there waiting for him to at least move a muscle. A few seconds passed by, and he finally turned towards us. I still remember that look in his eyes. Something was definitely wrong with that man. He had such pain in his eyes. I know, because when I would look in the mirror in those moments when I was alone at home, I too had that same look in my eyes. Mr. Saxon then stood up and just stood there in front of the class, hands behind his back. This guy literally stood there for a solid 2 minutes without saying a word. Then, he spoke. And the words that came out of his mouth became the most traumatizing words I had ever heard in my life, even until this day. He said, "Whoever wishes to die today can remain seated. The rest of you have my permission to walk out that door. You have 30 seconds. I literally couldn't believe what he said. At one point, I was fully convinced that I was having the most lucid dream ever. But then he did the most chilling thing. He began counting down from 30. I remember Roberto and I just looking at each other, wondering if this dude was serious. If he wasn't serious, that would be the most bizarre joke ever, and most likely could cause him to get fired. But if he wasn't joking, then time was quickly running out. It was at the 15-second mark where it became super obvious he was dead serious. He moved his hands from the position he held them in that whole time, only to reveal a pistol. 10 seconds remained. At that moment, it was a stampede of everyone hauling ass out of there. We all ran for our lives, literally. One of the girls who was ahead of us screamed, "He has a gun." Reggie, the security guard, was nearby and saw us all running and screaming. That's when a single gunshot rang out. At that point, I saw Reggie screaming in his walkie-talkie. A few seconds later, a lockdown was announced over the PA. Those of us from class and a few stragglers roaming the halls at the time were directed to the gymnasium. As you can imagine, law enforcement flooded the building. Sadly, the single gunshot we all heard was due to Mr. Saxon taking his own life. News came out days later that 2 months before the school year began, he lost his wife and son in a car accident. He wasn't the same since. So, the pain he felt, the pain I witnessed in his eyes that morning, was the root cause of that horrible day. Thankfully, nobody else was hurt. I honestly believe he had no intentions of taking anyone's life that day except his own, which is why he did it the way he did. So yeah, there you have it. Hopefully, one day, I can move on from what happened. Ever since I was a small child and developed the ability to remember things, I hated my father. I know hate is such a strong word, but I don't care. This man was a devil in the flesh. But the hatred I always had for that man was nothing compared to the hatred he had for my mother and I. So, when he showed up to my school that Friday morning, claiming he was there to drive me to a doctor's appointment, I knew that something terrible was about to happen. The way he viciously attacked the principal was almost animalistic. But it was his eyes, the way he looked at me as he stood up, holding that long blade, the way he menacingly inched toward me, that terrorizes me until this very day. But let me step back for a bit and provide some context before explaining exactly what happened that day of the lockdown. I was a sophomore when it happened. My father had always been a violent drunkard, even before I was born, according to my mother. It was a complicated relationship for her. Aside from me, she had absolutely no one else to run to. She didn't have any marketable skills to be able to find good paying work and become independent. So, she depended on my father as much as she hated it. Knowing this level of dependency, he exploited that with absolute pleasure, like the predator that he is. 3 days before the day of terror, as I've come to call it, a big fight broke out at home. My mom and I were in the kitchen talking about what plans I had for the future. I always wanted to be a nurse, so I ran down my goals and dreams to my mom. The only problem was, we had no money. But I was more than willing to work as hard as possible to afford it on my own. While in the middle of this conversation, my father walks into the house. He had just gotten home from work. He worked in construction. And as per usual, his eyes were bloodshot red from drinking, and his speech was slurred. But even in that piss poor condition he was in, he somehow managed to overhear our conversation. Immediately upon walking in, he calls me every insult and offensive name you could ever call and say to a woman. He says I don't deserve a future and that I'm not getting a dime out of him, so I better get ready to become a stripper or work the corner because he's not paying for anything. I didn't know what to say in that moment, but my mom, she had enough. She smacked him across the face and told him she's had enough of his you-know-what and to get the hell out of the house. Well, you can imagine how that turned out. He beat the living hell out of both of us. But something good came out of it. He said he's so disgusted with us that he's leaving for good. After saying that, he gave me an ice-cold stare as I laid on the ground next to my mother, who was barely conscious. Then, he walked out the house. Now, we arrived to that Friday morning. I had skipped school for a few days due to not wanting to show up looking like hell. I still had some bruising around my face, but it wasn't as noticeable as it was around my ribcage, where he really went to town. I was in math class when over the classroom intercom I was asked to come to the main office for an early dismissal. I was totally confused and thought my mom had come to pick me up early for some strange reason. So, I gathered my things, walked over to my locker to stash away some textbooks and grab my jacket. When I arrived at the main office, my heart almost came out of my throat. I couldn't see myself, but I'm 100% positive that I turned completely pale. There he was, that monster. He had this sadistic smile on his face. The principal, who was completely oblivious to my current relationship with my father, said he was there to pick me up for my doctor's appointment. I almost couldn't speak due to the shock and horror of seeing this piece of trash standing before me. The principal must have noticed the concerned look on my face, since he asked if anything was wrong. But before I could get a word out, my father chuckled, walked toward me, and said to not worry, that I was just having a rough week. That's when I snapped out of it and screamed at him to get the hell away from me. I told the principal he beat me and my mom to a bloody pulp a few days prior and that he's up to no good. That's when my father's face completely changed, his eyes basically bulging out of their sockets. The principal quickly took notice of the situation and stepped in between the both of us. That's when all hell broke loose. My father took out his hunting knife that he had concealed under his jacket. The principal told me to run, so I did. But before doing so, I saw my dad grab him by the throat and headbutt him directly to the nose. The principal collapsed to the ground, his face covered in blood. His nose was 100% broken. After regaining feeling in my legs, fight or flight kicked in and I ran as fast as I could. Three security guards were running up the hall. I ran towards them. They ran past me and yelled to find somewhere safe to hide. An office staff member in one of the office rooms must have triggered the lockdown security system because the automated announcement started. That's when the chilling lockdown alarm started ringing and the hallway lights began to dim. The sound of classroom doors shutting and locking all around me was nightmare-inducing. I continued to run down the hall. As I ran, the school janitor called out to me and told me to follow him. So I did. He led us to a storage room that had a pretty solid door. We ran inside and locked it. He told me to not worry, that he won't let anyone hurt me. I sat in a corner, motionless. I couldn't cry, couldn't speak, couldn't feel. I don't know how much time passed by, but eventually, the lockdown was lifted. The police had arrived and taken my father away. He's still in prison. He's gonna be there for a very long time to come. I'm 26 now, working as a nurse, and I earn enough to take care of my mom and provide her with whatever she needs. I refuse to let that monster kill us or my dreams. It was the third time this month I found myself in a school cafeteria, decked out in full lunch lady attire. I was serving up lukewarm spaghetti to a line of chattering elementary schoolers. Volunteering gave me a much-needed escape from the suffocating tension at home. Bruce and I had been drifting apart for years, our love eroded by his long work hours and my growing resentment. The only thing still tying us together was our daughter, Nancy. I smiled at Nancy as she came through the line, giving her an extra breadstick with a sneaky wink. She giggled and scampered off to join her friends. For a moment, I let myself forget about Bruce's late nights at the office and the cold silences that stretched between us. Here, I could feel like I was making a difference, even if it was just by ensuring a bunch of 8-year-olds got a halfway decent lunch. The cafeteria was filled with the usual lunchtime chaos. The clatter of trays, the shrieks of laughter, and the chatter of 100 high-pitched voices. I didn't even notice anything was wrong at first. Then, I saw a security guard hurry in, his face pale as a ghost. He rushed over to the teachers and whispered something urgently. I watched them gasp, the color draining from their faces. An icy trickle of fear slid down my back. Something was very wrong. The security guard raised his voice, shouting for everyone to get under the tables, now. The kids looked confused but obeyed, clamoring down and huddling beneath the long lunch tables. I scanned frantically for Nancy, spotting her blonde pigtails peeking out. I let out a huge sigh of relief. It was short-lived, though. An announcement came over the intercom, the principal's strained voice confirming my worst fears. The school was going into lockdown. There was an active shooter in the building. This was not a drill. I felt like I'd been plunged into icy water, my breath freezing in my chest. This couldn't be happening. Not here. Not to my baby. But the tremble in the principal's voice over the intercom was all too real. Maternal instinct took over. I abandoned my post behind the serving line and ran to Nancy, crawling under the table to wrap my arms around her. She clung to me, her little body shaking. I wanted to tell her it would be okay, but the words stuck in my throat. How could I promise that when I wasn't even sure myself? Around us, the other children were crying, calling for their mommies and daddies. The teachers tried to shush them, looking almost as terrified as their students. We were sitting ducks under these flimsy tables. I was shaking uncontrollably, overwhelmed by pure terror. I don't know how long we huddled there in that awful limbo, jumping at every distant sound, convinced each one was the shooter coming for us. It could have been minutes or hours, my sense of time warped by the adrenaline coursing through my veins. I clutched Nancy like she would disappear if I let go, praying silent, desperate prayers. When the cafeteria doors burst open with a bang, I almost screamed. But it wasn't the shooter, it was a SWAT team, heavily armed and armored. They swept through the room, herding us out into the bright sunlight, where police cars and ambulances waited. We emerged into a world transformed, swarming with first responders and frantic parents. There was still so much I didn't know. Who was the shooter, if anyone had been hurt? But in that moment, all I cared about was the warm weight of Nancy in my arms and the knowledge that, this time, we had been lucky. As we sat on the curb, waiting for Bruce, Nancy asked me if the bad man was gone now. I hugged her tighter and did my best to reassure her, hiding my own doubts and fears behind a mask of calm. But inside, a small part of me couldn't help but think that maybe, if Bruce had been around more, if we had been a real family, I wouldn't have been there that day, which meant Nancy would have suffered through all this without me. But that was a conflicting pill to swallow, one I wasn't quite ready to face head on. For now, I focused on Nancy's small hand in mine and pushed the rest away. We had survived. That was enough for today. Tomorrow could wait. I crouched as still as possible in the long, narrow cabinet, my heart beating out of my chest. Sweat trickled down my forehead, stinging my eyes, but I refused to move an inch to wipe it away. I just laid there, holding my breath. This definitely wasn't how I had expected to spend my fourth period. My name is Greg, and as a freshman, I was still getting used to the layout of the high school. When the lockdown alarm first sounded, I had been heading from the cafeteria to my next class, AP Biology. The halls immediately erupted into chaos as kids scrambled in every direction. In the confusion, I got turned around and ended up in an unfamiliar wing of the school. Before I could get my bearings, the hallways emptied out as classroom doors slammed shut and locked. An eerie silence descended, my ragged breathing sounding extremely loud. I tried a few of the doors, but they were all locked tight. I knew I should stay put, but the thought of being exposed in the hallway if the intruder came this way filled me with terror. Then I spotted one door that was slightly open, the door to Mr. Johnson's history classroom. I hesitated only a second before slipping inside, careful to close the door silently behind me. The room was empty and dark, the blinds drawn. I scanned the room frantically, my eyes settling on the long cabinet in the back. I knew I would be cutting it close, fitting my 6'1" frame inside, but I didn't have many other options. I folded myself into the cabinet, pulling the door shut and shrouding myself in suffocating darkness. Only seconds later, I heard the doorknob to the classroom rattle. I covered my mouth to prevent myself from screaming. The doorknob rattled again, more insistently this time. My eyes strained against the darkness, but I couldn't see anything through the thin crack between the cabinet doors. The door to the classroom creaked open, and heavy, erratic footsteps approached. The intruder was breathing heavily, muttering something under their breath that I couldn't quite make out. I clenched my eyes shut, silently praying that they wouldn't check the cabinet. If they opened the doors, there would be no escaping or fighting back from my cramped position. The footsteps drew closer, stopping right in front of the cabinet. I could hear the intruder rifling through the classroom, knocking over desks and chairs. I didn't know if they were searching for someone or just throwing a fit. My lungs screamed for oxygen, but I didn't dare breathe. Time seemed to stand still in that moment. Suddenly, piercing screams sounded from somewhere else in the school, causing my heart to nearly stop. The intruder dropped an F-bomb loudly, and I heard them sprint out of the room. In the distance, more screams rang out, along with shouts and a strange popping noise that sounded like gunshots. I stood frozen in the cabinet, my muscles cramping up real bad, but my brain was telling me not to move. Even as the sounds of chaos eventually faded into the distance and an eerie quiet took over, I stayed put. I had no idea if the intruder was still in the school, and I wasn't about to risk them circling back this way. I don't know how long I stayed in the cabinet. Minutes, hours, Time lost all meaning. At some point, tears started streaming silently down my face as the reality of the situation fully hit me. I could have died today. I thought of my mom and dad, hoping they wouldn't have to get the news that every parent dreads. I thought of my little sister, Janet, praying that her school was safe. When the police finally came to clear the room, I blurted out that I was in the cabinet once I was sure they were the police. I was so stiff, I could barely extract myself from the cabinet. Apparently, there were actually two intruders. The gunshots I heard earlier came from the second intruder, but thankfully, no one was critically injured. I was led out of the school by one of the SWAT team members, and remember feeling like I was in a complete daze. All I could think was, it's over, I'm safe. But I knew this was an experience that would haunt me forever. For the rest of my high school career, every lockdown drill brought me right back to that claustrophobic cabinet, my heart seizing with crippling fear. I'm a senior now, and as I prepare to graduate and head off to college, I finally feel ready to share my story. It's not an easy story to tell, but it's an important one, because this is the reality for far too many students in America today, and change will only come when we refuse to stay silent any longer. The memory of my school lockdown experience is still freshly baked into my mind, even though it's been over a decade since it happened. I was in middle school, just trying to get through each day without drawing too much attention to myself. I'm Taylor, and I wasn't exactly Mr. Popular back then. I mostly kept to myself, did my work, and counted down the days until summer break. It was right after PE, and I was heading from the gym to my next class, social studies. I had to stop by my locker to grab my textbook. The hallways were always a zoo during passing periods. I was just focusing on getting my stuff and getting to class on time. I had just grabbed my textbook when a strange sound came over the PA system. At first, I thought it was feedback or something. But then I heard the words that sent me into a state of shock. Lockdown. This is a lockdown. This is not a drill. For a second, everyone just froze. Then, pandemonium erupted. Kids started screaming and running in every direction. Teachers were yelling for everyone to get into classrooms. But in the chaos, I got separated from the crowd and found myself alone in the hallway. My classroom was on the other side of the building. There was no way I'd make it in time. Completely filled with panic, I looked around wildly, trying to figure out what to do. That's when I noticed I was still standing right next to my locker, with the door hanging open. I didn't even stop to think. I threw my textbook inside, squeezed in behind it, and shut the door as quickly and quietly as I could. It was dark and stuffy inside. I was doubled over uncomfortably, barely able to move. But I hardly noticed the physical discomfort. All I could think about was what was happening out there. I wondered if maybe there was a shooter in the school, and if so, if anyone was hurt or possibly worse. The minutes crawled by with agonizing slowness, but at the same time, my mind was racing at a million miles per hour. I asked myself why was this happening, and just how crazy it was to go from a normal day to this. But I snapped myself out of it. I told myself that I couldn't think like that. I had to stay strong. I tried to steady my breathing, even though my chest felt tight with fear. I had to be brave. Even if I was only a kid, I had to be brave for my classmates, my teachers, my family. Suddenly, an image of my mom's face flashed through my head. She would be absolutely devastated if anything happened to me. I couldn't do that to her. I had to survive this, for her sake, if nothing else. That was all the motivation I needed. I don't know how long I hid there in the suffocating darkness, trying not to make a sound. I just know that my body was cramping up and it was getting hard to breathe. Finally, I heard a voice in the hallway outside. Clear. A few seconds later, the PA system came on again. The lockdown is now over. Please wait for instructions from staff. I simply stayed put a few minutes longer, until I heard the chaos of students emerging into the halls again. Then, sort of believing it was really over, I slowly opened my locker door and unfolded my cramped body. The sudden light was blinding after the total darkness. I later found out that a staff member had seen a strange man pacing around the front entrance of the school, holding a pistol. They immediately alerted the principal, who initiated the lockdown. The police arrived within minutes and apprehended the suspect. It turned out the man was mentally unstable. He also apparently had some kind of grudge against the school, though I never learned the specifics. The police found him ranting incoherently when they arrested him. He was taken into custody without incident and didn't actually make it inside the building. But it was a terrifyingly close call. In a way, I was almost glad I hadn't known all the details while I was hiding in that locker. The truth might have pushed me over the edge in total panic. It was scary enough wondering if it was a prank or a drill. Actually knowing there was a real armed man right outside would have been too much to handle. But I also remember the determination I felt. The certainty that I had to survive, that I couldn't give up. I learned something about myself that day, that I'm stronger than I ever realized. It was an awful experience that I wouldn't wish on anyone. But in the end, I'm weirdly grateful for the person it made me into.